We are made for loving. If we don't love, we will be like plants without water. Desmond Tutu.
Empowerment in education. Two powerful elements that will help you break free of convention and transform your passion for wellness to a level beyond the status quo. The Essential Oil Revolution, where you're given the tools to supersede an ordinary everyday lifestyle. Inspiring speakers, DIY recipes, healthy living tips, and more. You'll discover it all here. So tune in and get ready for a wellness revolution.
Hello and welcome to the Essential Oil Revolution. I'm your host, Samantha Lee Wright, and today we have quite a fun episode for you. We are going to be diving into the world of cannabis. Now, it is a wide, wide world out there, so we're really only scratching the surface today. But I do want to warn you, if you are listening around little ones, we do have one grown-up word in this episode, and we do talk about the use of cannabis very recreationally and sort of normalize it. So if that is outside of your comfort zone, then you might want to put some headphones on or just skip this episode. I was on the fence about whether or not to publish this episode or not, because I really love to bring you content that is solely or primarily focused on essential oils. But this show is also about our connection to the plant world, about herbalism, natural resources, health and wellness. And that comes up a lot in the cannabis world. We also dive into the world of terpenes, which is very much related to the world of essential oils. So I think the whole industry of what's happening with cannabis, we are going to see impacting the aromatherapy and the essential oil world a lot when it comes to researching of different terpenes and their effects on us emotionally and physically. So for those reasons and many more, we are bringing you this very special cannabis focused episode. I am not pro or against the use of cannabis for recreation or medicinal use. I just simply want to bring you information. This show is all about education so that you can make your own decisions. So with that in mind, I hope you enjoy today's episode. But first, let's pull a recipe out of our DIY dugout. Today's DIY dugout recipe is called Lucid Dreaming Rollerball from Gail Fay, who is on Instagram at Akasha Alchemy. That's AKASHAALCHEMY. To make the Lucid Dreaming Rollerball, in a 10 milliliter roller bottle, combine 6 drops Damiana, 5 drops rose, 3 drops mugwort, and 3 drops Roman chamomile. Fill the remainder of the roller bottle with your choice of carrier oil. Before bedtime, anoint your 6th chakra, which is your 3rd eye, your 2nd chakra around the sacral, and your 3rd chakra around your solar plexus with this rollerball blend. Roll onto your palms and rub together and inhale deeply. Then retire for sleep while focusing on what you desire to dream of. This is also great for anointing dream pillows and charms, she says. Thank you so much for this recipe, Gail. We love it. I want to add that if you use this recipe and you have a successful lucid dreaming experience, please let me know. Email us at DIY@revolutionoilspodcast.com. And hey, while you're at it, throw us your own essential oil recipe and you'll get entered to win our monthly giveaways. That's DIY@revolutionoilspodcast.com.
Hello, dear friends. In today's world, it's hard to maintain balance in any area of life. This includes in regard to our hormones. Let's face it, stress impacts everyone, and this affects our hormones. Compound stress on top of an already fluctuating cycle, and not so happy symptoms can result. Thankfully, we have essential oils to tame our mind and body, but a lot of times, many women need something more to keep their hormones at a healthy level. And that something more is where Happy Mammoth comes in. And right now, they are generously offering you 15% off your first order when you visit happymammoth.com and use promo code REVOLUTION. Happy Mammoth is a forward-thinking, all-natural wellness brand. They are obsessed with empowering people with quality natural health solutions aimed at promoting total body health and vitality. I love their comprehensive formula, Hormone Harmony, which contains herbal extracts that help to support hormonal levels, stress, mood, resiliency, and blood sugar. In fact, it contains adaptogenic herbs that help the body adapt to any kind of stressors. This can help to keep hormones in much better balance. Due to its synergy, Hormone Harmony formulation can be used for women in perimenopause, menopause, and any female with symptoms of hormone imbalances. What I love as a naturopathic and functional medicine doctor is that their products are third-party tested for quality and purity, free of heavy metals, and free from artificial fillers. For all these reasons, I am confident recommending Happy Mammoth to my clients and grateful to be supplied with my own bottle for a happier mood and less bloated belly during that time of the month. I am so pleased to have a company that stands behind women's health and optimizing wellness through science and education. So please support Happy Mammoth and the show. For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com with promo code REVOLUTION at checkout. That's Happy MAMMOTH.com and use promo code REVOLUTION for 15% off your first order. Hello, dear friends. As an essential oil user, I know that you have probably come to not only appreciate, but to actually expect the powerful shift in emotions that you can get instantaneously when smelling your essential oils. When someone's dealing with the complex emotion of grief, life can get pretty heavy. Although emotions and essential oils can both be good allies, sometimes more is needed. I want to introduce you to a new podcast called A Place of Yes that is now available wherever you listen to podcasts. The host of the show is Heather Strother. Heather actually had a severe loss when she lost her 4-year-old son, Jack, suddenly to medical complications. 13 years later, now Heather is sharing the only way that she could move forward from the loss. This was by channeling her grief for the good and finding a place of yes. Now, her and her husband have created a nonprofit organization called Jack's Help from Heaven. Since then, they've helped hundreds of families with medically fragile children raise more than $1 million to help them to purchase with items that are not just medically necessary, but also convenient. Their goal is to improve the quality of life, and it offers you an opportunity to learn strategies to cope with grief and how to truly be there for someone that you love that is grieving. Now, sometimes the guests aren't just talking about the loss of a child, but the loss of a life they thought that they were going to live. And I know that we can all relate to that. Please listen to A Place of Yes now wherever you listen to podcasts. And also visit our sponsor at jackshelpfromheaven.org/news/podcast and learn about Heather and Brian's incredible nonprofit organization.
I'm here with Hannah Brand, who is partner and chief sales officer at Autumn Brands. Autumn Brands is a family-owned, sustainably run cannabis farm on the coast of Santa Barbara, California, that specializes in the production of pesticide-free cannabis and CBD products. As chief sales officer, Hannah oversees strategic planning, marketing, product development, packaging, and sales. And we're super excited to have you here with us today. Hannah, how are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you for having me here.
Well, I'm excited. We've covered the topic of CBD on the show before, but haven't really dove in much to the whole cannabis topic, which it's a hot topic, right? I mean, over the past couple of years, the industry of cannabis, weed, herb, whatever you want to call it, has drastically evolved and changed. And it's kind of a buzzword now, especially in the health and wellness field, with tons of confusion, misconceptions along the way, of course, as what usually happens. So we're here to clear some of those things up. And maybe that's a good place to start. I mean, what in your eyes, what have been those like major changes that have happened? And what are some of the complications that have come along with that?
Yeah, I think over the last few years with the recreational legalization in California, we've been able to have a lot more research done about this plant and about what it really offers. And it's also allowed people to kind of dive into the different aspects of the plants and how they help in different ways. So these come from kind of the strains that you grow and what terpenes they have and what cannabinoids they have can really be beneficial to different things going on with people.
Yeah. Tell me more about that. You know, that they're for people unfamiliar with the different types of cannabinoids, you know, let's start there in relation to people's health.
Yeah. So cannabis has over 200 different cannabinoids. The main one we talk about is THC and CBD, but there's also a lot of minor ones in cannabis. And in our own bodies, we have an endocannabinoid system. So we actually have receptors in our bodies for these cannabinoids to help us with different benefits. And a lot of these things come in the form of anti-stress and anxiety, helping with appetite or suppressing appetite. Different inflammations can actually be reduced. So there's a lot of amazing things that we've been learning over the last few years.
Mm-hmm. And now differentiate cannabinoids versus terpenes in relation to marijuana.
Yeah. So cannabinoids are like THC, CBD that are giving you different psychoactive or non-psychoactive effects. Terpenes are also naturally occurring compounds found in all plants, and they're responsible for the aromas and flavors of cannabis and other plants. And so it makes different strains taste and smell different from others.
Mm-hmm. So basically, when you are walking through the woods, working in a garden, or opening up a bottle of essential oil or potpourri, you are experiencing terpenes. It's what gives plants their smells and their taste as well. And marijuana, of course, is a plant. Just like any other plant, right? It has a flower, it has a bud, it's a plant, so it has terpenes as well. But what's special about the terpene of a marijuana plant versus, let's say, like a lavender or a rose?
Yeah, so the terpenes in cannabis will actually affect the THC and the effects that you feel from different strains. So depending what terpenes are most prominent in the cannabis that you're consuming, you'll have different effects. So limonene is one of the most commonly found terpenes. It has like very distinct citrus notes. And right now it's being studied for anti-cancer and anti-anxiety properties, but it's also one of the ones that give you more of a sativa strain, and it makes you more awake, kind of more aware. People use it for creativity. While micerin is more of like one that kind of makes you sleepy. People take it at night. It has more sedative effects.
Mm-hmm. For like an indica brand. So for those unfamiliar, that's typically the categories of herb that you can choose from, right? Sativa or indica, or a hybrid of both. But if I'm interpreting you correctly, basically the types of terpenes that are in the species of plant being cultivated is what delineates those different categories, sativa versus indica?
Correct.
Okay. Interesting. Interesting. Well, I find the whole world of cannabis so fascinating, especially since the like legalization of the recreation use in a lot of states. And I actually have a bit of a beef with it. I'm not going to lie, because I am way too sensitive to the THC. Like every time I've tried to smoke weed, I'm like, this is way too strong for me. And I've done some research into this, and you know, I'm one of those kind of old school people who are like, bring back the weed from the 70s. Like, I want that Woodstock weed. I want that. Like in the 70s, weed contained about like 1 to 3% THC. And now, since there's lots of different factors that we can get into, now the average THC potency of weed today is between like 18 to 30%. I mean, that is a huge, huge increase in THC. And for someone like me that like hardly smokes, but now every time I try it, because it's all around, you know, and you're like, oh yeah, it'd be nice to kind of, you know, relax or get in a creative space or all these, you know, benefits that people talk about for the occasional or recreational or medicinal use of weed. I'm like, I want that. I want to try it. And then I get way too high and then I don't enjoy it. I get anxious. I get paranoid. I'm like, damn, I can't do it. I can't do it.
Yeah. One of the things that we've definitely always talked about is start low and go slow, but it is harder to find lower potency THC cannabis right now. I think it comes down to what dispensaries have higher sales in is the recreational high THC users. And so there's not always kind of that beginner flower or bud to choose from. We've actually been growing Blue Dream CBD for the last 4 years, and it's about 12% THC, 8% CBD. And that's what we recommend for all of our people looking out to kind of get their foot in the door. And then we also created a Thrive Elixir, which is essentially a tincture, which is a very micro dose. You can take some drops either before bed to sleep through the night, or you can take a little bit in the middle of the day and not really get that overwhelming high or anxiety, but really just do a low dose and find that balance that you're looking for.
I think it's so ironic that like back in the 70s, there was that whole crackdown, yeah, like the war on drugs and all these, you know, I always feel kind of bad for all those hippies that were getting like, you know, busted for this weed that in hindsight is like so mild, right? Compared to what's out there now, which is legal now. So it's just ironic to me. I think it's all just kind of silly, the different laws and things that we put on it. But it's interesting to see what's going to happen with everything now that it's just becoming so normalized, right? This is just something that our kids are going to be growing up with, and they'll have to navigate it just like they navigate, you know, every other decision in life. And so anyway, I digress. Let's talk about salve. you guys have a topical salve that, you know, has an essential oil blend in it. So tell me about that marriage between the essential oils and the CBD and the cannabis.
Yeah. So we spent about 2 years developing this topical. It's our nourishing muscle and joint salve. And we really wanted to give it an essential oil blend that was one unisex, you know, both males and females will enjoy the essential oil blend. And then we didn't want to add any menthol or anything that made it seem like another very medical product as soon as you opened it. We know that menthol has been used in so many different topicals, especially when I was playing sports. And I was like, I don't need a tiger balm. I need some THC. So we kind of went the direction of something mild but refreshing. And I had zero experience in the essential oil blend world. But we found a local company in actually our small town of Carpinteria who really guided us. And so we went with a bergamot, a lavender, rosewood, and teak blend that she had made. And it's just a really refreshing, neutral essential oil blend that kind of brings out, you know, the full spectrum cannabis, the terpenes that are in there. They're not like masked. You still smell them, but they kind of marry the two together and give a really nice calming sensation.
Mm-hmm. That's lovely. We know so much that the marriage between different plants and herbs can be so powerful. The different terpenes within the different plant species, the different chemical constituents, when you put them together, there's just this synergy that happens that, dare I use the word magic, like it's just this magic that happens when you put these things together. And yeah, it's, I never really thought about it before, but having a like a balm for, you know, your joints, for your achy bits that isn't just like overwhelmingly pungent with menthol, that does sound like a nice relief. And I've used some CBD balms, salves in the past, and I can say they are so powerful. What kind of research or other stories you could share about the power of these types of salves for that application of joint or pain relief?
Yeah. So when we were researching, I knew that magnesium was very helpful in pain relief when I was sore. And so my main goal was to get magnesium mixed in with high THC and a bit of CBD to really get as much pain relief as possible. So while the THC and CBD are non-transdermal, they won't actually get you high. They will give you pain relief, and the magnesium is transdermal and will soak into your joints and muscles and really help with anything that you have going on. One of the most amazing stories we had was a local friend of ours here. She was battling bone cancer. She ended up kind of weaning off of pain meds because she didn't like how they made her feel. She already knew she was coming to the end of her life. But when we came out with our salve, we gave her as much as she needed to last the next, I think she used it for around 8 months before she passed away. But she would tell us every time I saw her that that's the only reason she's getting out of bed was because it would soak in enough to give her pain relief from her cancer.
Wow. Wow. What a beautiful story. I'm sorry for the loss of your friend. I mean, what a gift you were able to give her towards her end of life. Yeah. So I want to talk about, could you just walk us through the basics of the health benefits of cannabis in the different forms? There's so many different reasons that people will use this plant, whether it's recreational, whether it's medicinal, whether it's emotional support. And this is a large topic, but for people that have maybe never tried this before, you know, what reasons might someone want to give it a try, and what are the best ways to get started?
Yeah. So some of the reasons that people start looking towards cannabis for health and wellness, a big one is sleep. Living in this day and age, sleep and the lack of sleep is very common. So cannabis in many different forms, whether it's a tincture, in a pre-roll, in a gummy, has helped so many people just sleep through the night, catch up on the many hours that they need to have a productive and great day the next day. Another one is pain. It's definitely used for people that have high pain levels that are pretty, can be consistent, or I'm not allowed to make any claims because cannabis is still federally class one, but there are so much research happening right now with the benefits, and I'm excited to see kind of that new leaf turn over when we can fully make claims. But it is in the legislation that you can try it, and what works for you is great, but it might not work for everyone. But yeah, I think pain and sleep are the main things. And then for someone that's going through different treatments and might not have the best appetite, it's also been shown to help your appetite and make sure that you're getting the nutrients you need if you're going through different things in your life.
Would that hold true, the appetite side? I'm curious if it would hold true for CBD as well, or is that more of a quality for the THC?
I think maybe if CBD had more research into the terpenes of what you're getting as well. A lot of CBD, if you're getting it in an oil form or in like a gummy form, it's distillate. So they isolate just the CBD and they don't bring on the terpenes with it. It is more costly to do a full spectrum extraction and provide the terpenes with it. But I think CBD would still be able to have some of those potentials as well. And then as far as getting started, we always say, as I said earlier, start slow and low. Find something that's low dosage or you can take in low dosage. Maybe you don't feel the effects the first time, and then the second time you can up it a little bit more. But the last thing you want to do is kind of jump right in and do way too much, because you might have a bad experience if you've never been high before and you go to being fully high. Sometimes there is some anxiety when you do too much.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And when that happens, I'm curious, is there any research on if someone does that, you know, I'm asking for a friend, are they doomed for life? You know, like, is there a connection between, I had a bad trip, and so even if I do go low and slow, like, I'm still going to have that association and potentially just like never be able to enjoy it?
I think that can come down to the person. I know for me, my first time actually getting high, I had an edible. And back then, you didn't know how much was in your edible. You just had a cute Rice Krispie treat and you ate it. And so I did get very high. And I kind of was like, okay, I'm in high school. I don't really need to be getting high. And I kind of stepped away from it. And then in college, I was like, okay, I want to experiment more. I'm learning about this plant and I want to kind of dive into how do I not have that experience again. But I know other people that said, it just doesn't work for me. I tried it once. I didn't like it. It's not for me. And that's okay too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Well, it's so hard. That's the one thing that I'm loving about the moving into the legalization of it is that at least now things are a little bit more identifiable, right? So you can know, you know, what percentage THC am I getting? You can know like the strain. It's a little bit more like walking into a store and knowing, okay, this works for me, this doesn't. And you can experiment with like a little bit more reliability versus back in the day when you're like, well, I don't know where this is from or who, you know, who made this or where it's from or how long it's been sitting around, you know, or things like that.
It's John's uncle. It's great stuff.
Yeah, right. Yeah, it's great. You're going to love it. Now, speaking about the legalization side of this, where are we today? So we're recording this on November 15th, 2022. I'm sure things are probably changing like week by week in this world and state by state. You know, can you give us a little rundown for people who are listening all over the country? They might not necessarily be in a state where this is like you can walk into a head shop, let's say, and just buy something off the shelf. You know, where are we in the spectrum of country-wise and state-wise when it comes to the legal use of marijuana?
Yeah. So the legal use of marijuana has been on a lot of ballots for the last few years. I know that in 1996 was actually when California became medically legal. And then in 2018, we became recreationally. There were, I believe, 5 states on the ballot for last week's recreational or medical use. And I believe it's Dakota and Arkansas actually just approved it. So they'll be transitioning into their legislation state and start writing up all of their kind of rules and laws behind it. Right now, there are many states that have recreational and medical use cannabis legalized. But the important thing to note is you can only buy the cannabis of that state in that state. Like me, even though it's legalized.
Like cannabis that's been grown there?
Yes.
Or,
yeah.
Oh, interesting.
So we have cultivation licenses, distribution licenses, and retail licenses here, as well as labs and manufacturing. But if I grow a product here, I can only sell it in California retailers. I cannot sell it in New York retailers or Oregon retailers.
Interesting. So what do states do that don't have the climate for it? Or is it all just in greenhouses and inside now that's not really a barrier?
So in California, there's a lot of greenhouse growers. We're, especially in our area, we're all cut flower growers. So we did like tulips and Gerber daisies and roses for the last few 30 years, I believe, is when my dad moved here from Holland. And my mom's family did the same thing, but she came 50 years ago. So we kind of transitioned, and that's been a really successful model for the California market. While up in Humboldt, they have the outdoor, a lot of the traditional farmers that have moved over into the legal market. And then more down in LA, they have a lot of indoor farmers. And so we kind of get all three here. I know that, you know, if you go to Montana, it's going to be very difficult to grow outdoors or in a greenhouse year round because of the snow and the climate, but they'll probably have successful indoor grows. But that is more input cost. So it'll kind of be for each state and each next generation of cannabis farmer to figure out what works best and what's mm-hmm. most sustainable for them.
Yeah, interesting. And what, how much do you know about the legal side of if someone wanted to just grow this themselves, like in their yard, like as a garden? Do you have to have a license for that?
So you can grow your own 6 plants at home.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Interesting. Well, this is so fascinating. And now I did not realize that you were the daughter of the original farm owner, right? So this is a family farm that you've lived in, lived at for a yes. while, I take it?
What yep, is that my like? My grandparents' house is on the property. So I spent a lot of time here when I was young, and in high school, we would spend the different kind of flower holidays helping out before and after work, working here in the summers. So it's definitely always been a part of my brother and my genetics and blood to be working with the family and be farming.
Yeah. And you, like you said, it was all flowers beforehand. And then now, do you still grow flowers or well, I guess technically cannabis is a type of flower. But do you grow cannabis? Yeah.
We only grow smokable flowers now.
Okay. What was that transition like for your parents or your grandparents?
So my dad had already taken over the whole farm. My grandpa was retired. But it definitely wasn't an easy choice for him. He was approached by some partners that wanted to partner with him and make this transition. And he comes from Holland, and his idea was kind of like, you know, cannabis isn't for me. I don't need to be a part of it. And he actually had never smoked any of it until this last summer.
Oh, wow.
But
what was that like for him?
It was good. His best friend from Holland was here. So they did it together and I helped. So we did low and slow. It was yeah. just giggly and not too much. But yeah, it definitely wasn't something he jumped on right away. We really kind of opened his eyes, and our CFO Autumn did as well, to what this plant is used for. And then we met someone who is now a really good family friend. And he was hurt when he was enlisted. And the reason he's still with us today is because his doctor looked him in the eyes and told him that he's from California, do what you used to do and get off of these pills. So we've heard so many of those stories of people transitioning from pills or different pain medicines and using cannabis instead, and it really saving their lives or drastically changing it for the better.
Yeah. Are there any particular stories that stick out in your mind? One of those stories that sticks out in your mind?
Yeah. So our good friend Cody Elliott, who we actually hired here for a few years, he stepped on an IUD, and he was in kind of a year of recovery. He lost his leg. He has a plate in his head. Yeah. Awful. So he was kind of worst case scenario, but still alive. And yeah, he moved home. He enlisted when he was 18, was in for, I don't know, maybe 5 to 8 years. I don't know exactly before he was medically retired. But he's really the one that showed us, hey, I am off of opioids. I am off of all these different pain medicines. I'm dealing with my chronic pain every day by using cannabis right now. And mm-hmm. it saved him. So wow. It's really great to share his story. And he actually moved to Brazil with his wife and son. They had a miracle baby that he didn't know he was able to have. So I get to see him like twice a year now.
Oh, wow. That's yeah. great. You know, that, funnily enough, makes me think of some of the kind of rumors you hear. I've called them rumors, but I'm going to ask you how much truth is there behind a few things about weed. One, you know, it gets called a gateway drug a lot. or some people claim it's addictive, some people claim it's not. And then the like semen potency, I've heard that as like a thing. People that smoke too much, you know, can't like have babies because it affects their semen count or something. So those are just a few kind of rumors I wanted to throw out there and get your take on.
Well, the research is coming out that, you know, it is not addictive. And it's kind of something we've known. I mean, people that use it regularly and people have been in this industry for a long time have known that it's not addictive. But you can say it, but still all of the research and stuff has to come as this gets more and more legalized across the U.S. Semen count, I do not know about that.
You never heard that?
I have not, but I'll have to start looking that up. That could be a fun fact to use.
It could totally be a rumor. These are just like the rumors you hear growing up, you know.
And as far as gateway drug, they're proving more and more that it has never been and is not a gateway drug. I think it is still a huge jump to say that alcohol's not, but cannabis is, because it is just so different from so many other things that are very addictive and very life ruining. We had this one lady who works in the church, and she does a lot of counseling for anger management. And she advises alcoholics to switch from alcohol to cannabis, because when she goes around and say who's been in a fight because they were drunk, they all raise their hand. And then she asks, who's ever gotten in a fight when you're high? And not a single person puts their hand up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it seems like, especially for those scenarios, and like you mentioned earlier, people suffering from opioid addiction, it seems like a really logical step to move yourself from those really damaging categories, right, to this, you know, much, much less damaging and, you know, with a lot of health benefits as well that we've talked about. Yeah, it makes sense. So hopefully we'll see a lot more of that positive transitioning from people really struggling with some toxic behavior and toxic substances to being able to find this as a solution that works for them in a way that works for them.
Exactly. And that's the key point, in a way that works for them. It works for everyone differently. So while more research is coming out, people also will have to do their own research. Some people really don't like indicas and will only smoke sativas, as simple as that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Hannah, is there any last words you want to share with people about this world of cannabis?
Yeah, I think if you're never tried it or you're kind of exploring the idea of learning more, there's so much research out there. You can check out our website. We try to post really informative blog posts. We try to share as much info about our strains as possible. We put the terpenes and effects on the top of the jar. We include as much information to the consumer as possible, because we know that is how you find what's right for you. So really ask those questions when you go into a dispensary. Look for brands that the farm owns, and look for pesticide-free cannabis.
Well, thank you so much, Hannah. This has been really illuminating. I appreciate your time with us here today. Before you go, we always love to ask our guests a couple closing questions. And the first is, what's just one or two self-care practices that you try to do every day to stay healthy?
I like to work out with my dad and now my brother every Monday, Wednesday, Friday morning before work. It kind of is a great way for me to start my day. And then I do use our Thrive Elixir almost every night to help me sleep through the night and not wake up 2 to 3 times.
Nice. And what kind of exercise do you guys like to do?
It's kind of like a HIIT class. We have a warm up, a strength portion, and then a high intensity cardio or circuit training. Mm-hmm. Our trainer kicks our butt almost daily.
Good for you. Good for you. And lastly, what's just one thing that we should all ditch completely and replace with something healthier today?
As I touched on earlier, kind of the taking out alcohol and switching it with cannabis can really help make it healthier today.
Okay. Well, thank you so much, Hannah. Now, for those that want to be more a part of your world or get in touch, I imagine only people in California can actually purchase your products, but are there other ways people can get involved?
Yeah. So if you're in California, you can go to delivery.autumnbrands.com for home delivery. You can talk to your local dispensary and see if they carry us, or find a local dispensary from our website, from our shop finder. If you're not in California, there are many ways to still be involved. We can check out our blog posts. You can send us an email on the contact page if you have any questions or want to learn more, or get any kind of guidance for what you're looking for.
Well, thank you so much, Hannah Brand from Autumn Brands. We appreciate your time and wisdom here on the Essential Oil Revolution. Thank you.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks so much for tuning in to today's episode. The Essential Oil Revolution is created by me, Samantha Lee Wright. If you're looking for resources, show notes, recipes, swag, or more, go to our website, revolutionoilspodcast.com. There you can also enter to win our monthly DIY dugout giveaways. That's revolutionoilspodcast.com. We'll catch you again here next week. Happy New Year's, everyone. Keep on learning, keep on discovering, and most importantly, keep on treating yourself well. You are worth it.